G-51, ICA headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. As he encouraged two of his charges to forcefully enter and sweep Dan McCarthy's top floor office, ICA security chief Jose Claros was both glad they had asked his permission and perhaps even more so that they had already acted so selflessly in ascending a building which was in the process of being evacuated. Claros's role as a truly senior official meant that the responsibilities of certain lower-ranking personnel slipped well under his radar, so he wasn't explicitly aware that any of the agents in question literally had it in their job description to sweep the offices of all titled VIPs during a potentially threatening incident. "They're not here, sir," a youthful voice announced through Claros's radio, seconds after the significant sound of a controlled explosion rang out. "The door came off safely, but there's no sign that anyone has even been in here today. If they were taken, it really doesn't look like there was any kind of struggle." If they were taken against their will, they wouldn't have had time to struggle, Claros thought to himself. He didn't share this out loud, partly because it would have achieved nothing, but primarily because he didn't truly believe there was any chance the messengers would ever take Dan and Tara against their wills. "Should we come down, sir?" the young agent continued. "Every other room besides Chairman Godfrey's provides surveillance data, and we can see from the heat signatures that there's no one in any of them."
"I assume the chairman's office has been swept?" Claros asked.
"Affirmative. But sir, there was no way into either office without forcing entry. The doors were—"
"Get yourselves outside with everyone else," Claros instructed. "And gentlemen, my commendations on promptly reaching CPL McCarthy's office and ensuring a safe entry. Don't worry about the doors for a second. Just get on down to the street and join the cordon."
Authorized and pre-vetted vehicles began to appear at a distant checkpoint just within Claros's vision shortly after the end of his communication with his laudably attentive agents, bringing a slow nod of relief. He wasn't concerned for the physical safety of anyone in attendance, given his assumption that the inciting incident for the evacuation had been an intervention from the messengers he and almost everyone recognized as peaceful and friendly, but it was nevertheless important for things to run smoothly. As planned and rehearsed, two agents ushered Chinese Premier Ding Ziyang to the correct vehicle with the permission and assistance of his own bodyguards. Ding's car, as familiar to him and his guards as its driver, sped off to safety. A few more vehicles were already on their way from the final checkpoint, with three large communal buses following close behind. With the arrival of the second car at the edge of the pen, two more agents encouraged U.S. President Valerie Slater to make her way towards it. Although Slater recognized the vehicle and would have felt perfectly safe getting inside, she signaled for its driver to continue forward and get out of the way of those following behind. A brief standoff ensued, as ICA security agents firmly instructed the driver to stay put and ultimately placed a roadblock in his way, indefinitely holding up the rest of the line, while Slater gestured wildly and increasingly animatedly with her arms in a performative manner that clearly displayed her reluctance to leave everyone else behind. How much of her reluctance was for show, knowing how many cameras were present, no one could truly know. Slater had similarly attempted to address the crowd at Godfrey's vacant podium immediately after the flash, but the fact that a considerable number of cameras had also been pointing at her at that moment made it similarly difficult to read too much into it. Eventually, Slater's in-house security team had a word in her ear which resigned her to the fate of leaving the scene now rather than making sure everyone else did first. In on the order of the evacuation list and who wasn't on it, Slater just knew that John Cole would make sure he was the person to board the last bus. The U.S. agent who finally persuaded Slater to leave essentially told her that there was nothing he could do to remove the roadblock or convince his unbudging ICA counterparts to do the same. He also, more softly, told her that she had made her point and would clearly be seen to be leaving the others against her will, and only because arguing any longer would further prolong their wait to reach safety. The last thing Claros or any of his security staff wanted was an incident of major controversy involving the highest-ranking individual left on site, the President of the United States, no less. So everyone was glad to see Slater enter her vehicle and leave the path clear for others to follow. The rest of the evacuation went smoothly, with only the Fiori Frontieri delegation of Alessandro and Natalia's prompt exit causing any disagreement whatsoever. This was sparked and spearheaded by John Cole, who threw his hands in the air like they were made of spaghetti and hopped around as if the ground was being consumed by lava. His ridiculous reaction made President Slater's gesticulations of a few moments earlier look like positively nothing, and the woeful overacting was Cole personified. As Slater had predicted, Cole also ensured that he was the very last delegate to board a vehicle. He spoke to the final few camera crews until the very end, and then made sure they were still filming as they boarded the last bus to leave him alone. But for the army of security agents, at least, in the large holding pen with the grand entrance to William Godfrey's ICA building, symbolically framing the shot behind him. "Where's a sniper when you need one?" Jose Claros ruefully and acerbically asked the hundreds of windows on the street across from him. Only half joking.